Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think it does us good to go back sometimes and remember what we used to be like, what we were before the Lord got a hold of us. He did take us, our old battered selves, and He gave us a robe of pure white. We didn't even go seeking Him. He was seeking us. Oh, when you begin to think of grace, how much love we ought to give towards God at that point. Just, Lord, You did all this. All I did was say yes when it came around. And the only reason I can is because You predestinated me.
Amen.
Amazing grace tonight, or today. Well, it is the evening time. How many believes that? The world's about done. That's right. 2 Peter, if you got your Bibles tonight, towards the end of the Bible there, 2 Peter. Gonna have to lose this now. I don't know if I've kept up on announcing these things, but Wednesday this week and Sunday, Brother Alexander is going to be speaking for us. Kind of my little vacation, I guess you'd say. I'm still going to work, but it feels like a vacation. We'll put it that way. But be praying for those services. Lower that a little bit. I believe the Lord will speak to us as He has every other time. How many believes He's going to speak to us today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we stand for the reading of the Word, 2 Peter 1. And we'll just read through this little passage here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many wants to be fruitful today?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's apply this word. Getting towards the top of this pyramid. We're still talking about the original word, returning. I think I like to title this, Living for the Other Man. It's just a simple way to get there. Living for the other man. Let's bow our heads together. As we go to approach His Word. We know it's already blessed, but how many want to say, Lord, I open my hands. I give my hands to bless You. I know You'll bless me. You promised it, Lord, but I'm here to bless Your name. If you have a desire and you'd like to lift it up to Him, as we approach the Word, believe now as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints together. As we feel Your presence already here, Lord, it does something to the believer's heart to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that You'll come and You'll heal the sick that's in this place, that You'll save those that are lost, Lord, even those that are on our hearts, Lord, that You'll move on that, Father. And the angels will go and find those souls and bring in the harvest, Lord, before the evening time wraps up. Lord, help us to give diligence to the Word of God today. Take our minds, Lord, purify it from things of this world, from the cares of this life. Let us just lay all that aside now and think on the world to come, Lord, for it can't be many more days and You'll be here and it will be gone, Father. Help us, Lord, to invest in eternal things. Let us redeem the time today. Fill the empty and encourage the discouraged. Speak through my lips, but open our hearts, Lord, that we may receive Your Word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How many's happy to be a Christian today? Amen. Well, just kind of backdrop for a little bit. With Brother Alexander taking the next few services, I might change the title, but to make it a new series. I mean, we're on part 39. I think it's about time I called this something else. Ellie told me, after you do so many parts, aren't you just pretty much preaching the Bible, you know, like we're just, you're just throwing everything under that title. Yeah. So after today, I'd like to go into the headstone and talk about that with the help of the Lord and what that means and what I believe the message has given us. I'm just rolling up my sleeves, getting ready to fight the... Give me a second here. That's what, you know, you don't leave your sleeves down when you're getting ready to fight. You roll them up and get them out of the way. That's right. You came to do warfare this morning?
Amen.
That's right. We're not here for a picnic now. This is church.
Amen.
If we were coming for a social gathering, well, we might as well just go over to your house and have a good time. We came here for church.
Amen.
And we're not here to play church. We're here to defeat the devil and find out where he's crept into our lives and get him out of there.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why you come and hear the word, because God ordained offices to help you.
Amen.
Not for them to gloat about how great they are. Not for a pastor to get up and say, man, you better listen to me or you're dead, boy. No, but for the pastor to have a heart for the people. And for the people to have a heart for God. And for us to get our love where it ought to be, that darkness can't get in our lives no more. That's right. It's time to start snipping things at the seed instead of waiting for it to grow. That's what we're talking about today. Now, we've been building this image for a while. Praise God for how He told us how to build. Aren't you happy for that? He didn't ask us to build it in our own strength. He didn't expect us to give Him our righteousness, because He already told us our righteousness is filthy rags anyways.
Right.
So we might as well just take that and forget that that's part of this. We're not talking about that. We're not growing into grace. We're growing after we get in grace. We're already in grace. We're already sealed into the grace of God. But we want to grow as Christians to help others, to give a testimony to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, you know, you say have faith, and He says have faith for yourself, because your faith doesn't help somebody else yet. That's why we've got to build that until it becomes something you can give to someone else. Well, you say, Brother Andrew, what you talking about? Well, let's back it up. If I take a seed and I plant it in the ground, it's going to grow roots first. You and me can't eat that. The birds of the air can't live in that. The animals can't eat that. That's only for the seed itself. It's for itself. And that's for our faith in God. You've got to have a root. You've got to have a foundation before you can help anyone else. And God, before we asked for it, laid the foundation when He wrote the book of life and He put our names on it. Hallelujah! And then the day we needed Him, He came and He gave us the Holy Ghost and began to quicken that life. And the first thing it should do is root us into the faith. Now, we can't be blown away with every wind of doctrine, but we're sold out. That's right. I pray you are, because if you're not and you're still wishy-washy about, well, I don't know about this message. I don't know about the Word of God. I mean, maybe this guy's idea. See, you're going nowhere with that. You ain't got any roots, so don't worry about a plant by any means. It's going to die. That's right. You have to have roots. You have to be born again. You must be born again, or you don't want to listen to the rest of this. If you're not born again today, that's my message for you. Get born again. Get the Holy Ghost and give your life over to Him. That's right. How do you give your life to Jesus Christ? You die so He can resurrect you. Because you can't have two people in a control tower now. If you're still alive, He ain't alive in you yet. You got to be dead. And there's only one person can lay your life down. You have to choose that. That's where predestination, free will come right hand in hand. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. So God gave us. He gave us promises. He gave us the Word. He's the one that came and put us into the body of Christ. But He made us co-laborers with Him, that we would work together to build the kingdom of God. You say, well, how are we building the kingdom of God? Jesus answered that question. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of heaven. We're not going to build buildings and things like that. We're building a body that He can indwell. So we'll take that and we'll go to heaven. That's right. I mean, maybe there's houses and things of that sort. That's fine. I don't like to get into that doctrinal debate, but I'm not worried about that house. I'm ready for a new body.
Amen.
I'm ready for something that don't have bad thoughts. I'm ready for something that don't get complexes. I'm ready for something that just thinks the Word all the time.
Hallelujah.
That's just always the Word. It's just the Word. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. And it's just over and over and over again. It just gets greater and greater and greater. And I'm here to tell you, we got the down payment right now.
Right.
So if you're living outside of that, Christian friend, you're living below your privilege, get back in. How? Believe it. Let your faith grow. And say, I'm in heavenly places right now. I pray you do that with this service. Is this just another service? We in Defiance, Ohio? Or do we get to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to where all things are possible? Huh. I wonder how many times we leave service with only this much joy, when we should be full of joy.
Amen.
That's right. I wonder how much time we leave with this much peace. Because we should be living with this much. I wonder when we leave here with a list of requests still on our hearts, when they should have been already given to the blood and committed to God and said, I have them.
Amen.
You say, well, it hadn't happened yet. Don't matter. I'm talking on a whole different timeline than down here on earth. Because once you hit faith, it's over. Once you know that you've hit that rock of faith, I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you're still throwing up and everything else. It's over. You'll go on, you can smile, and say, man, it hurt. No, it don't hurt. What are you talking about? I feel great. Why? That's somebody that's got faith.
Amen.
And that's just the foundation. That's right. But we want to be built up. If you're a Christian, we know eternal life is living for others. It's got to be in there. If you're a selfish person, you're not to first base yet. Just to let you know. Don't worry about speaking in tongues and being this great gifted person. If you don't love your fellow brother, you're just wasting your time. Because it will not be accepted before God.
Sure.
That's right. Balaam could have very well stacked up his supernatural experiences way higher than probably most of us. I mean, how many of you just go and talk to God face to face, just casually conversations all the time, just back and forth? Now, God allows us, you know, maybe that's part of our fault. Maybe we ain't sincere like we ought to be.
Right.
That's right. I know he talks this thing, but Balaam was just talking to him right here like this.
Right.
Oh, God, you know, I got a request for these guys. And all. So you can't base it off that.
Right.
And some of us might wonder, say, God, why didn't you let me do that? Thomas thought the same thing one time. How many knows that?
Sure.
He said, wait a minute. You guys say you saw the Messiah? Why wasn't I there when he showed up?
Right.
Yeah. He went over in his corner and, if he was going to come back, he'd come see me. And you know what? He whined, but he still elected. And you know what? Jesus Christ came specifically for him, went right up to him and said, hey, here's what you asked. Here's my hands. Feel them. Yep, they're there. Feel my side. Yep, they're there. And Thomas, what did he say? My Lord and my God. What did Jesus say? You believe, Thomas, because you've seen it. You've handled it. You know I'm here. Blessed is he who doesn't see but still believes it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You say, well, boy, I wish I could have a vision and be like this. How about you just fall in love with God and just say, Lord, I believe the word anyways. I don't care if you never visit me again. I don't care if you never heal me again. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to pay my tithe. I'm still going to pray for the sick. I don't care if you don't answer another one of my prayers. I'm sold out.
Amen.
I believe this.
Amen.
And if it's worth living for, that means it's worth dying for. If it's worth dying for, it's worth living for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we've been building this thing up. Our faith by itself is not what God wants. He wants it to build into something that we can hand to someone else and help somebody else on life's journey. And as we know, you build it up, maybe you get a stem or something, that might help a bug or two. You get some leaves and branches, that might help some birds. But if you'll get up to fruit, anything that's alive can eat that. That's right. So that's where we want to get to as Christians. Lord, I don't just want to be able to just help believers. I don't want to be the person that can only help unbelievers because I'm too self-righteous to go help another. Come on now, you can go both ways. I've met people who talk to sinners all the time, but they don't want nothing to do with another Christian. And yet I've seen the other way where they're so afraid of an unbeliever, they can't even testify. Well, praise God, somebody wasn't that afraid to come testify to you, or you never would have got the word in the first place.
Amen.
That's right. We're just preaching today. We built this up, right? And we've got faith, and we built into virtue. And if you want to, please go listen to those things. I finally got the sermons uploaded this morning. So forgive, brother. I got them done, though. We build it up, faith and the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness, which we know is sincerity. Now we're building into something that is not optional. Let me say it like that. It's not extra credit to have brotherly kindness. It's not, well, I could do that. No, it's way more than that. Let's go through the Bible. You got your Bibles there? John 13. See, a lot of people, unfortunately, like to skip this part of building this and say, well, I love God. I'll jump right up there and love God, but, you know, my brother, I don't know, man. He did this the other day, and he's got this mistake over here, and it ain't going to work right. I'm just going to let the Bible speak for itself. We'll just do that today. John 13. Let's just go right to 34. Everybody there, can you say amen for me?
Amen.
A new idea I give unto you. A new suggestion I give unto you. A new rule I give unto you. And you can obey it if you want to. That's not what he said. A new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another. Well, I love him, but, you know, that has a break point. You know, I only can love this far. And then he does this, and then I just can't deal with him no more. Well, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So now we're focusing this in real quick, that we can't even evangelize without this. That we are not even obeying the Lord that we say we love if we can't love a brother. Come on now. And I'll take it as far as we have to love each other as He loved us. And when did He love us? While we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While we were yet hypocrites, God loved us. Now look, that love don't go so far to say, well, we'll just whitewash over that and don't worry about that. That ain't how God loved you and I. Is that how He left you? When you were in sin, He just said, well, that's all right. I'll just brush over the top of that. You can come in and keep doing that. That ain't the way it worked. The love of God was when the Holy Spirit came to you and it revealed those things. And us, as because we know we're predestinated down on the... There was a man that didn't want to do all that. And we didn't know we were doing wrong. We were deceived by the enemy. But then the Holy Spirit came and it showed us our life for what it was. Can you say amen? Amen. And it began to show all this blackness and darkness. The things that we thought were good were evil. The things we thought were evil were good. And all you got to do is talk to a used car salesman to figure that one out right now. If you're a Christian, I this is just me, but I don't know if you can be a used car salesman and make a business out of it. Because you got to be honest. You got to be clean, straight. Them guys, they ain't going to tell you that line's going to break 10 miles out of here. That's right. That one tire just got a patch and it might hold, I don't know. You can't be saying those things. So in the world, you think, wow, you're so good at business because you know how to get around these and not get this out, know what information to leave off to make money and all. And we thought that was good. And then we came to Christ and like, oh man, I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I've probably murdered because I talk bad about this or that. Come on now. And we realize, thank God for grace to not leave me in that estate. See, that's the Christian compared to the sinner. The sinner thinks the grace of God is come with your sins and you can be a Christian. That's not the way it works. It's come bring your sins and get them in the blood. Then you'll be a Christian. Hallelujah. That's right. Not even it, but see, here's the thing. After we're converted now, I'm trusting you are today. If you're not, that's all I've got to say to you right now. But if you are, this is our focal point of our lives, should be living for the other man. Right. And that goes to anywhere that you're at. Right here in church. What do you come to church for?
Right.
Let me ask you that. Why do you go to the church you go to? And this is just for in general. Is it to go leech off whatever you can? Or are you there to support and to give what you can to help a brother out? That'll get you here praying. If you actually believe it's making an atmosphere, if you love another brother, say, God, let me create an atmosphere that faith can move. You say, well, he needs to move through me. See, there you go. You're selfish again. I don't care if God uses any of you. Go ahead, Lord. Just bless us. Just show your power. I don't need to be the one to do it. But let's go the other side, too. If you want me to, Lord, I'm here to be a vessel. Don't go off on tangents. Stay right in the middle. Lord, I don't have to be the one you use today, but I will. That's right. I'm a vessel. But why? What's the only thing that could ever motivate that is love. It's love. Because if you even have gifts and things, you could end up just like Balaam, where you can get in contact with God. You can hear from God. But because you're selfish, you can't do nothing for nobody else. And it only benefited him so long. Let me just let you know that. You don't hide your sins forever. They will catch up. Judas was the same way. A man gifted of God because Jesus told him, you have power. Go cast out devils. And he went and did it. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. And he was out there with them. But because he never had any love for Christ, he never had any love for brother, he didn't even have love for that poor little woman that was there trying to do Jesus a service. He was more concerned at getting her money. See, God knows us better than we know ourselves. If you've got that in us, we've got one route today. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me and take all that bitterness and all that jealousy and self. How? Love. If you'll just love. You say, well, it's just so hard. Not if you'll actually take, and you can do this. I as a witness, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can literally take yourself in faith and put yourself over there. Say, Lord, let me see it through their eyes.
Sure.
Let me feel what they feel. And then you know how to pray. Lord, I fast twice in the week. I saw brother so-and-so. Just don't even know how to fast. Thank you, Lord. I can do it. But I'm praying for him that he'll quit being backslid and you'll make him as good as me. In Jesus' name, amen. See, that's a good self-righteous prayer, but that ain't what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about somebody that looks at a soul. And I'm talking on the world, too, about a soul walking in darkness and death and has the compassion to say, Lord, if there's anything I can do, if there's anything I can say, if there's anything I can give, in my time, your time is more important than your money. Let me say that right now. That's the last thing we want to give up is our time. Oh, but I've got, you know, YouTube to watch for hours. I don't got time to go talk to somebody. I think this is speaking to us today. Amen. I got to watch this program. I got to do this thing. I think we should stop saying, I got to do this, and say the word is going to make me do what it said.
Amen.
That's the way. See, that's what we're talking about. Get us out of the way. Take our carnal thoughts, push it aside. Lord, the word. The word is what has to be done. Why? Because I am the word. I'm the word made flesh today. I cannot settle for anything else. Everything else that, you know, any of these other things that I know are not the word, I just can't settle for that. It's either all the word or I might as well quit. Because I can't get satisfied otherwise. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes and he gives them a commandment. I just love that. And well, you know, we're not under the law. We're under this one.
Amen.
Unless you believe that there's another Messiah coming who's going to give us the real one. No, this is the one that gave us commandment. Love one another as I loved you. Paul picks it up later on and says, you know, you want a tithe and all these things. He said, but the whole law, we could just sum it up right here. Love your brother as yourself.
Amen.
And you'll do all those things. You're not going to commit adultery. Come on now. If you love that other woman, you love that other man that she's married to, if you love them with the love of God, well, how in the world could you go break up two families like that?
Right.
Come on now. That ain't no love of God. That's right. You ain't going to steal from a man if you know, especially know he's a son of God, and know what the Bible said about that, that as you do it unto the least of these, you've done it to me.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's going to make a deal. They might not buy this or that. I better not tell them that. Just be straight up. I think that's where we just need to quit being Laodicean. We've let it affect us, haven't we? We think that way many times. Why? I better watch this or watch that. How about you just be straight as an arrow? That's right. And let the God that sees you be honest and pure. He will reward thee openly. You don't need to cheat the system.
Amen.
He'll break it for you.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 15. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Now let me read you what you might be hearing today, that you can be overbeared and never be able to overcome because the standard's just too high for you, and there's no way I can ever love my brother just like Jesus loved me. So there ain't no point in trying.
Right.
No. That you're defeated by what I'm preaching today. It just shows that you've got sin in your life somewhere. Because the faith of God can't produce this.
Amen.
This faith will produce a Christ-like character or you don't have it.
Right.
That's all there is to it. We're talking about brotherly kindness. Now let me keep reading. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded. I commanded you, sorry. Can you say amen today?
Amen.
I think this is why too many of our faces are just too droopy. Because he just said, why do I want you to love one another? Because it will create joy in your life. Why? Because then you're not worried about how you can get back at brother so-and-so. You're not worried about how, you know, you're going to make sure you pray that the devil can get after him. You're not worried about everyone else's sin. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got that attitude, I've dealt with enough just in pastoring the short time I have, that person is just hiding their own sins.
Sure.
That's why they're so busy trying to expose everyone else's, is so they can feel good about themselves.
Uh-huh.
The Bible picks up on that and says, who are you to judge another man's servant? We ain't got no business in that. And it's always over something petty, isn't it? It's always something that there ain't no word behind it. You can have your opinion, I can have mine, and we're going to go fight about it. And then we're going to break the whole church up over it, and there ain't one lick of word either way.
Right. Amen.
There ain't no brotherly kindness in that. Brotherly kindness says, you see it that way, I see it that way. It ain't a word issue. Praise God. Give me a hug, brother.
Right.
Just going to have to go with the lead, and let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 8. I've learned just to trust the Lord. 1 Corinthians 8. You say amen when you get there?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. What is he pretty much saying right there? Is if you think you got all the answers and you're a big stuff shirt, I'm here to tell you, you don't even know first base yet because you ain't loving your brother, that's for sure. Knowledge will puff up. God help us in this message that we don't take that and run with it and just puff up a bunch of knowledge. If that knowledge isn't yielded to the love of God, it will do you no good. You're only going to build up right to here and then fall off. That's not the age we're at. We're at the age of the capstone.
Amen.
We're at the age where God will manifest Himself again in the bride. And we say these things, but that means the whole picture now. That ain't just a power and we're going to speak things into existence. We will and we are. But you have that character's got to be there or you'll never govern the power of God like it ought to be.
Amen.
It's a whole package deal or it's nothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if any man think to know. Okay, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be those that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many, lords many, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat, or are we the better, or neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. We're talking about love now. Okay, see, keep going. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What's he trying to get here? And I didn't think I'd read that whole chapter, but praise God. He's talking about, just to put yourself there for a minute. You see brother so-and-so in a Buddhist temple. And they just offered something up. They killed it and offered it up to Buddha. I don't know if they do that, but let's just say that. And you see brother in there eating with him because he's trying to evangelize. But how would we think of that? There's some of us would have a problem with that.
Right.
That's right. And we're talking about the love of God now. If we did, we ought to be the one to slip away in prayer and say, Lord, I might not understand, but I still believe that's my brother in there. And just let it go. That ain't the way it usually works. Usually we go and we tell every brother so-and-so about what brother so-and-so did and don't know the first thing about it and say, look at him, he's half Buddhist for all we know.
Right.
Don't go to his church. And then where's the love of God in any of that? But on the other end, here's the brother who knows. It's nothing. It's just an idol. I gave thanks to the right God. I ate it. My conscience is pure. He notices that a brother might see him. What did Paul say? I will not even eat any meat, lest it makes my brother offend. And you say, well, we don't got idols and sacrifices. Yeah, but we got Christmas trees and presents.
That's right.
Let's just do it. Is that all right? People fall out about Christmas, I think, every single year. And then we'll reconcile in January until the next December gets here. And then we're enemies again. Look, if you don't like Christmas, I decide I want a tree. I haven't yet, but if I did, I would put it away for you.
Right.
And some people think, well, now you're letting somebody else boss you around. No, I love that person.
Yeah.
I do. I don't want to offend them. And you know what? If I know, I say, well, how about you come over in January? You see, but you'd be surprised if we would take that attitude, and that's just one issue that we could talk about. There's nothing to Christmas, nothing to bless, nothing to curse. It's just a thing. Some of you celebrate, well, we celebrate birthdays. I think all of us do. Do you understand in the Bible the only one who ever celebrated birthdays was a bunch of heathens?
That's right.
But there's nothing to it. It's fine either way. Now, I do have a problem. I'm just going to have to say it. When we let the birthday take away our worship to God. To me, that's crossing the line. It's the same with Christmas. If we want to do things and all that, that's fine. But I'm worshiping God on Christmas. I'm not going to skip out on that. And that's what the prophet said. He said, you can't celebrate Christmas. It's a day of worship. You don't celebrate that. You might celebrate your birthday or something, but we worship on that day.
Right.
Hallelujah. Just busting my hand on that. Pray for me. Hit it on the corner here. And he picks it up again. Let's do one more here, Romans 14. Paul talks about it one more time and kind of goes directly into this. How many wants to love your brother like Christ loved you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is rubber meets the road kind of preaching that we need to get to where we don't let these things hinder us and create roots of bitterness that divide us against each other, but we learn to get into the love of God and let God decide what's right and wrong for each of us. Are you hearing me now? Now, if it's just sin, that's another thing. I'm talking non-word issues. If you have a sister come up and you say, I don't have no problem cutting my hair, well, that's a time where you say, sis, I'm sorry, I love you, but you're wrong. The Bible said to let it grow. You got a man that comes up and wants to start cussing or something like that, you say, brother, come here. The Bible says we'll give account to every idle word we say.
Amen.
See, that's different. That's a word issue. But things that aren't, I like pianos, I like organs, I think we should have guitars, I think blah, blah, and we fall out about it. Well, if I was pastor, I'd run it this way. And if I was song leader, I'd do it this way. And there ain't no word for that. Let it go.
Sure.
Amen. Romans 14. Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So if you have somebody and this is Paul talking. He's supposed to be talking to strong Christians now. When he was talking to the Corinthians, they were all weak. He said, I can't talk to none of you right. You're all a bunch of babes. You're running around. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of this. I'm of that. I wonder if Paul came back, how many Corinthian sermons he'd have to preach in this message and not any Romans. No Ephesians. We can't even get along with each other, much less get along with God.
Uh-huh.
You say, well, I love God. And you hate your brother? You're a liar.
Exactly.
Well, he's wrong. Love him.
Amen.
How are you going to help him? You can't get a devil to cast another devil out. So what's the point of me going to get in a grudge, which I know comes from the devil, and it's going to help this brother that I hate? No, it's not. The only thing you're ever going to do for him is love him.
Amen.
And pray that God helps him.
Sure.
And not be all self-righteous and puffed up about it, but understand that he might have a weak conscience in you.
Right.
He might not understand like you, but receive him. Let him be a brother. Don't kick him out of the church because he don't understand everything.
Right.
And we'll do that. I've seen it done. Take people out of the blood. And you're like, what are you even doing? Why? There's a time and place to do that, but I don't know of too many men in the church sleeping with their mother-in-law.
Right.
How many knows that's what Paul said? He said, get that person out of here. Right. You know why? Because they were letting it go on.
Right.
And then nobody said nothing to him. And they said, well, God bless our brother over here. And somebody, some sinner says that and says, you ain't no different than us. I'm just as good as you Christians. I don't need converted. And it's a stumbling block.
Right.
It's the same with that. When Paul is saying, if my brother interprets my action as a stumbling block, I'll never do that.
Yeah.
Well, my brother's conscience shouldn't be weak. That's not what Paul said to do if you have a strong conscience. Live for him.
Amen.
You show him how to have a strong conscience. How? By loving him
right.
And saying, it's all right. I won't do that. Goodness, man, we are preaching. But, see, receive him. But what? But not to doubtful disputations. We're like that. Well, pastor said we can't celebrate Christmas. I think we ought to. And then you go and start having a big blah about that. What a doubtful disputation. There ain't no foundation to it either way. Maybe you don't believe that, but I do. I think if you can worship God on any day. That's right. You can say it was his birthday any day. That's fine. You can say it's my birthday any day. I don't care. You want to buy me presents? Go ahead. what the Bible says. It's better to give than receive. Well, there you go. Praise God. And I love you more than me, so you go ahead and give it to me so you can be blessed. I'm just kidding. You understand. I don't want your presence. I'm not living for this anyways. I want to put up eternal rewards. We can do that. How many know that's what? And I don't know if I even understand that because, I mean, we're already getting to heaven. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to make it. But he still said, I can get rewards. I can lose rewards. And what does that mean? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure. If God tells me I can have reward, I want it. That's right. Hallelujah. Don't receive the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that, or let him, excuse me, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth or eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. There it is. There it is. That's the revelation right there. If God gave that man the Holy Ghost, who am I to kick him out of the body of Christ? Right. If God's screening process was not good enough, how are you thinking yours is better? That's a pretty bold statement to say, well, bless God, you know, gave him the Holy Ghost, but I think he ought to have done this. Woo, boy. Time to back it up and realize who saved you.
Amen.
Let's keep reading now. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To him his to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Can you please tell me why Christmas does not fit into that scripture? I've asked and asked and asked. Why can't we just settle it right there? One man esteems it more important than another man. We're done. This is the end of the discussion. But no, we'll go through this list of 20 quotes over here and these 20 over here and how, you know, Jeremiah, they made a tree and worshipped it. But over here, you know, we can have symbols because we got crosses in our church.
Sure.
Maybe somebody needs this today. I don't have no Christmas notes, just to let you know. It's April. If anything, I'd be preaching on Easter, I guess. But you can do it this Easter, too.
Right.
That's right. But you better make it a day of worship. That's the thing. That's where it's at. And that, to me, is more important. If you're going to esteem days, there ain't no day better than Easter.
Amen.
That's right. The resurrection is the most important thing that ever happened. Now, I'm going to keep reading. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So make sure you've got faith for what you're doing. And he explains that. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Yes.
For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, we get so worked up in calling this out and that thing and worried about this or that. Look, we're all going to have to stand before him anyhow. And it's going to be judgment. God's not going to mess it up. That's right. And that's why Paul came and rebuked those Corinthians and says, you guys are going to judge angels on the throne of God and you can't figure out who should give $10 to who? You can't figure out who's supposed to do what at the fellowship because it's not fair and all these things. Don't let that thought ever get in your mind because that has broke churches.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a little, you know, I just feel like I always get the short end and stuff. You entertain that, you will hate people. That's absolutely right. And you'll build an entire complex that has no truth whatsoever.
Amen.
Why? Because the devil's got no truth in it.
Amen.
And if he's building it, there ain't no foundation because he ain't got none. But well, we've got a foundation.
Amen.
It's Christ. It's our faith in him. He is our rock.
Amen.
And if we'll just put our experiences to the words test, if there's no word on it, let it go.
Uh-huh.
If there is, put your life behind it.
Amen.
That's right. And he explains that. I'm trying to find a good, but it's too good. I got to read it all. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. No, I'm going to make him bow. No, God will take care of that. Every knee will bow to him. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. Can we do this? Can we do this? Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You're not loving him. That's exactly what he's saying. You're not loving your brother. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And let's just break it down real quick. Our experience in God isn't just because we wear dresses, sisters, or let our hair grow, or you brothers cleaned up a little bit and stuff. That's supposed to happen, but that's not the goal. That's just a means to an end. That's just the effects. If you're a tree, you got leaves, okay? But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to fruit. All right? So that's not, those things are supposed to be there, but to make that the foundation, it's just, it'll crumble. It'll fall apart. And we can do that in this message. We've done it. We've done it to just certain named preachers, too. They go to their church. Well, I ain't talking to them. How do you know? I'm just going to have to be honest. There was years ago back, I remember I brought somebody to a church one time, and I was partly embarrassed because I couldn't say I agreed with everything going on. But God knows these things. And if you can run someone off, they're not predestinated. It didn't run me off. I still believe the word anyhow. I don't care what church I've had to sit through or false doctrine I've had to endure. Hopefully you're not doing the same today. If you are, pray for Brother Andrew. That's right, because I believe this word with all my heart. Amen. And that's all. I don't got no grudge against nobody. I want Jesus Christ to be exalted. And I know I can exalt him if I love you. That's right. And I know if I can't show love toward you, I might as well not even try to show love to God because I'm just a hypocrite. We're not even through page one of my notes, just to let you know. In case you thought I pre-thought any of this. All right. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that. Let me get down to verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we bring it right back around. It's about being in God's presence. And when we do things that's evil and causes grudges, things, the first thing to go is that presence. You know it's true. You start getting mad at your husband or wife and you go to snap right there, you can feel. And we'll blow through it. We'll say it anyways. We'll justify it with a quote.
Oh, come on.
We'll find a scripture.
Sure.
See, the devil can do that. The devil can do that. He knows the Bible. He knows what Brother Branham said. He knows how to give it right to you right when you need it. And get right in your house and just make havoc out of everything. Because you'll live your best and your worst in your own house. That's right. You'll show the greatest love you ever do in your own house. But you also show a side that the church don't know nothing about the pastor. That's right. Like that one back there. I'm a human too. Don't make me a God. That's right. I'm part of God, but I'm not your God. I hope you understand. Don't worship me. I'll kick you right out right now. We're not doing that. That's what you say. Well, that's pretty strong. Paul and Barnabas, man, they're going to call him Jupiter and Mercury. He said, "Whoa, stop! Don't do that." Amen. Holy Spirit, I wonder how many times he's come to us and said that, and we think, "Well, that's just Brother So and So getting on me because maybe he just don't understand." He just say, "Lord, I accept it. Amen."
Sure.
God help me to live or to establish the kingdom of God. How? Through righteousness, peace, and joy. In one place, the Holy Ghost. He gives us a real foundation for this. Let me just finish this and then I'll try to wrap things up, I guess. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the works of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? This is what I quoted earlier. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen.
See, that's a different thing than, well, it's not evil, it's not this or that. No, no, no. If there's a check, if there's a question, you don't need to make that decision. You need to back it up. You're doing something wrong. You say, well, again, I've got a quote for this. I got a scripture. You back it up. There's something checking on the inside. It's not a faith anymore. And if there's anything in your foundation that is not a faith, it will not stand this test because God is letting the pressure come. That the only thing left in this world that will have any sort of love is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, we're pretty close now. Can you say amen? Amen? You can't hardly find a man to give compassion to anybody. And then you try. I mean, I heard this. I don't know if it's true. Just listen to me now. But I would not be surprised if this happened. I think it was supposed to be in Bryan or something like that. Some people were out on the street asking for money. And had signs of, you know, help us, whatever, you know, we're laid off and things. And I think they're right outside of Burger King or something like that. And again, this is just a story. But if it's true, I would not be surprised at all. And they're out there, you know, asking people for money and everything. Well, the manager had a heart of compassion for them. And he went out there and he said, I'll give you guys a job right here on the spot. And they turned him down. He said, you know how much money we make sitting here doing nothing? And without the love of God, your heart would just sear right up right now. I am never doing that again. We think the love of God only goes until we get taken advantage of. That's the only time you can actually show any love of God. That's right. That's how you know. Because we're not supposed to give to feel good. I hate to break that to anybody's theology, but you're supposed to do what the Lord tells you to.
Amen.
Remember what they said, Jesus said, if he takes your coat, give him your cloak. He asked you to walk 1 mile, go ahead and walk 2. If you get taken advantage of, we say, well, no, I don't know about that or this or that. And it's not wise and things. Look, if the Holy Spirit told you to do it, just do it.
Amen.
You give up lands and all these things. Peter said we gave up everything. I wonder how many of us Christians with the Holy Ghost can say we did that.
Come on.
Right. I don't care. Lord, do you want me to give that to that person? Sure, here you go.
Right.
Why? I've got no investments in this life.
Amen.
But that's an investment in a life to come because the Holy Spirit told me to do it.
Yes, Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this living for others, it's complete. This is all, how does faith even work? Is by love. That's what the Bible says. You can't just pick and choose what you like about Christ and leave out what you don't. You either take it all. What made Jesus have faith like no man ever had is he had love like no man ever had. Look, what made him have faith to walk over to a casket of a boy that was dead was his compassion toward the mother. Who had her only son taken away at a young age. And I don't believe that they're ever, you know, death is bad anyways. But it's one thing for kids to lay up their parents. We expect that. But to have a parent have to lay up a child, it just don't work. And God saw that through Jesus Christ. And he went over there. And the love and compassion of the Savior is what created the faith to raise a dead body. Why did the Bible say Jesus wept when he got to the grave of Lazarus? It showed he meant what he was doing. He wasn't just there to show off and say, look, I'm the Messiah. Look how much power I have. He was there because he cared about Martha. He cared about Mary. He cared about his friend Lazarus in there who knew that he probably felt like he was deserting them. Why did I have to die? I cared about my sisters and now they got no one. And they called for Jesus. And he didn't come. We'd have left his church right now, wouldn't we? If he was really a man of God, he'd been here right on the spot, maybe. Maybe he wants to raise the dead.
Amen.
How many of you know the story of Lazarus?
Yeah,
can you say amen? How many of you think would have known that had he never died? It's just healed him of his sickness.
Sure.
What's that man's daughter's name? How many knows that one?
Mark.
See how slow it gets? Jairus' daughter? See, why do we all know Lazarus? Because it was such a great miracle. And you could never, it just gets ingrained in there. The first time you hear it, a man dead 4 days?
Right.
4 days. You talk about hopeless.
Yeah.
We think we've had hopeless situations. 4 days? I'm already starting to move on with life by that point. You're trying to.
Sure.
And then, wait a minute. Jesus is finally going to show up? And if he had that attitude, if even Martha and Mary,
yes,
their love for Jesus, listen now, usurped their feelings.
Yes, it did.
And they said, look, Master, we love you. It doesn't matter. You let our brother die. It doesn't matter. We still love you. But whatever you say, it'll happen.
Amen.
They both had the same confession, and it brought Lazarus back. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Can I preach now? I don't got much. Let me just start. I'm going to read you something. Now listen closely. Can you say amen? You hear me? All right. Stature of a perfect man. Then sixthly, we've been adding all the way up. Let's add, the Bible said here, adding brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now that's a good one right there, the 6 and 7. All right, adding brotherly kindness, all right. When we get to that, brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter. Now you say, my brother sinned against me, said Peter. Shall I forgive him? He said 7 times a day? Jesus said, he said 70 times 7, see? Brotherly kindness. Now you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. See? No, see? Be kind to him. Go anyhow. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness and all the rest? Then put, see, brotherly kindness. See? See, hoping someday, see, patient with him. See, temperant, enduring with him. Knowledge to understand what he believes. See, we think we judge things by the way we believe. Well, what if somebody believes a little bit different than you? If you'll let the Holy Spirit give you the love of God to where you can love like that brother like you would, like Jesus would love him, you'll see it through his eye and say, oh, I see why he thinks that way.
Sure, amen.
What if, he just said, if he's all out of tune, maybe it's wrong. But now I understand and I can do something to help him. Amen. Let me say it like this. If you're lost on the road and you call me and say, hey, I need to get Defiance. Can you help me? What's the first thing I'm going to ask you? Where are you?
Yeah.
Instead, we try to give directions before we know where they're at. Well, bless God, one time I came to Defiance and I got on 24 going west and that's how I got here. So they're already west of here and they start heading west. Be spiritual now. Right. Well, I did this and I did that. Well, that might not work for you. You might be coming from somewhere else. Uh-huh. You might need a little bit different directions. How can we do that though? There's only one way. Is by brotherly kindness.
Amen.
By letting the Holy Spirit, literally, like I said, take us and put us in his seat, in that other man's seat. How? Because I want to live for him. See, I didn't just say be kind. Live for that other man. That my whole life isn't for Brother Andrew.
Right.
It's for any other man that has a need.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hoping someday, see, patient with him. See, temper, that's the point. You can't get up here without patience. That's for sure. You can't get up here if you don't got any faith because you won't endure. Can you say amen? You have to build according to God's blueprint. But how can I? Because he said so.
Amen.
Why am I this? Because he made me that. See, it's still all grace. Don't get legalistic on me. God, you made me this. I believe it.
Amen.
Just keep applying that faith. I'm telling you, it'll never fail. If you'll say, God, you said it. I believe it. I'm getting a complex with this brother. I'm starting to not like him. And I get funny feelings and I can't hug him like I used to. Lord, do something. And believe it.
Yes.
And it will. It'll take it out of you.
All right.
I can say amen to that. I remember one time I was standing there and there was a brother over there and all of a sudden I got a funny feeling. You know what I could have done is what most of us would have done in the flesh. I'm leaving. You know, just walk out. We try to run from it. That's what Adam tried to do. It didn't work out too well for him. Don't run away. Run at it.
Amen.
And do exactly the opposite the devil's telling you to do. I walked right up to that brother and said, God bless you, brother. My, it's good to see you. Gave him a big old hug like nothing wrong. Because there ain't nothing wrong. I don't care what my flesh, that's not me.
Amen.
The man on the inside is already sealed up. He already loves like he's supposed to.
Amen.
You say, well, that brother needs to do this and that. Who's you to judge another man's servant?
Amen.
That's right. You think God's going to let him get away with that sin? No.
Nope.
No, he won't. But he'll do it in his time. Just like David. He didn't go taking the sword and killing Saul off. He even said it. One day, maybe he'll die in battle. Maybe he'll do this and that because I know you don't sin and not reap for it.
Amen.
So it'll come back, but I'm not putting my hand against the Lord's anointed.
Amen.
Woo! Now don't misinterpret that either. That don't mean we don't preach against sin. That don't mean we don't preach against things that some other minister might have done wrong. The thing itself is still wrong. But I don't make it to where we hate that man because of it.
Right.
That we're going to stop loving him. We're not going to fellowship with him no more.
Right.
Woo!
Amen.
Maybe I crossed the line there, but I don't care. I've seen love work. I've never seen that bitterness work. I've never seen that legalistic attitude work. All it does is divide.
Amen.
And once we get divided, devil runs rampant, and before you know it, you got one church into 10.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that hasn't happened in this message. It's happened.
Yeah.
How many of us could go back and know there used to be one church here, now there's 6?
Yeah.
Now, God knows that, and he might be permissive because he's trying to get his word everywhere he can. That's why he had Paul and Barnabas come together, and they started fighting, remember? But he sent Paul this way, he sent Barnabas this way. He got twice the word out.
Amen.
So, I understand that it doesn't necessarily need to happen that way. Sometimes God will allow it to get his word where it needs to be. Right. That's right. That's why I believe Brother Branham, look, what if Roy Davis wouldn't have kicked him out, essentially? We'll just say it like that. Wouldn't have told him that he needs to ordain women ministers. And he just would have settled down in that Baptist organization. Where would we be at? But see, church split doesn't necessarily mean it's not the will of the Lord. But there probably was a better way that we missed. We'll just put it that way. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm going to read. Hoping someday, see patient with him, see temperate, enduring with him, knowledge to understand what he believes. Remember, it's in his heart. That's what it, virtue in yourself. To let it go out with kindness and meekness to him. Having faith that someday God will bring him in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, then now you're coming. The Bible says this. Let me just quote it and just listen. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Yes.
If you'll be honest, the Holy Spirit's always telling you to live for someone else. Always to be kind and to be courteous and to help out and things like that. Pray for one another. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's read this one together and I'll wrap up. Here we go. 1 John. Please, I want you to read this with me. 1 John 3. This will be my last scripture today. Enjoying the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel like you are. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message. And I'm here to tell you, you might think the message changed, but it didn't.
Right.
This is still the message. When Brother Branham crossed the curtain of time, what was he told? Yeah. This is perfect love.
Amen.
And this is the only thing that makes it over here.
Amen.
It's still the message. Our message that we have through the prophet of God was a restoration.
Yeah.
It is not a new Bible. We don't need a 23rd chapter of the book of Revelations. We just, now we can see it.
Amen.
That's what it is. And we can see that this is still the message today. That ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Do you need another example to show you how not to love your brother? Here you go. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How many wants to know you've passed from death unto life? Here's how you know. Because we love the brethren. Not even because you love God. Woo. But you can't see that. But you can see when you love the brother.
Uh-huh.
You can see when you love the word and you support it when you love one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know that we've passed from death and life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother needs a counseling session. No, he abides in death.
Uh-huh.
He's not even just vacationing in death. He's abiding in death, because he's under the influence of a devil. And there's no good could ever come out of that. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Can you say amen? That's how I know God. The cross is well enough to show me God loves me. That he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Mm-hmm.
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Which means don't just say things. Oh, I love you, brother, I love you. And you see that they could use a new tire and you got plenty to help them out. Come on now. He said this world's goods. Well, bless God, if they wouldn't have done this, they'd have had it themselves. That ain't what it asked. Who are you to judge another man, sir? If he did do something wrong, I guarantee you the Lord will bring it and correct that man his own way. But if the Holy Spirit moves on you and you've got means to help someone, you ought to do it. Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That means don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Just do it because you love them. That's right. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. See, how we want these things, don't we? We want joy, like our full joy that we ought to have. We want to know that we're saved. And yet the Bible tells us how to do it. And we'll resist that with all that we can. Oh, I should get my joy today. Well, the Bible said if you love one another, your joy will be full.
Amen.
Now, he didn't give you another way to do it. Because if you'll just let go of your own thoughts and let go of your own ways and live for other people, God will just keep pumping joy right into your heart. And you'll just have peace and happiness and you won't have to worry about that. I'm not talking about easy life, but I'm talking you've got a rock that life can't move.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to know that I'm sealed, that I'm sealed. Start loving your brother and God will show it to you.
Amen.
Now I've got one last thought that the prophet said that I think will blow our minds if we think about it too long. But Matthew 25, it talks about judgment. We know that the bride's over here. I understand that. I just want to get a concept across. And he says, as a shepherd, he separates the sheep and the goats. How many knows this? And he tells this group, he said, the sheep on his right hand, I believe, he says, you come into eternal life because I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. And they said, when do we do this? As you did it to the least of these, my little ones, you did it unto me. And then he'll say to the other group, why are they going to damnation? Because you didn't come feed me. You didn't come help me. You didn't do this or that. Because if you don't do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
Or you haven't, you've done it not unto me. Right. And Brother Branham says this, I've got two quotes I'm going to wrap right here. It is I, be not afraid, 61. I love him with all my heart, and I cannot love him without loving you all. See? For he'd rather, God now, he'd rather I'd love you all than love him. I'd rather you'd love my children instead of loving me. And me being a parent thinks that? What about him? Another one here, Elijah 55. God would rather I'd love you than love him. Did you know that? I'd rather you love my boy back there no matter what you say about me. I want you to love my children. And any father would think that. So Father God thinks the same thing, for he said, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these, my little ones, you have done it unto me. So if you want to love God, amen? I want to love God. If you want to love God, just start loving all of his children. And God will reward you. If you'll just love his children, that shows the love of God is in you. Our faith in God, look, you can't see that on the outside. It's got to manifest into something that can come out on the outside. And the thing that'll get the sinner converted more than anything, is, and especially in our day, because what did the Bible say? I'm closing this up. I'm not going to be tempted. Going to wrap this up. What did the Bible say would happen in this time? The love of many would wax cold. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's infiltrated every one of us. It'll infiltrate us, even the believers, if we allow it. The love of many will wax cold. I believe even some sealed off people, listen to me now, that's got the Holy Ghost. If they don't love or they get wax cold, God will have to take them off the scene. Because you ain't going to never have the faith to build into the capstone, which is Christ coming back to earth, taking us home. If you can't even love your brother.
Right, amen.
If you can't put the benefit of the doubt for that man. Now, there's times where there is no doubt. Okay? If a man's committing adultery, there's no doubt there. It needs to be dealt with. But if you just, well, maybe this, maybe that. Don't maybe nothing, because it's not a faith anymore.
Right.
Faith is a rock. Faith is sure. Faith knows where it stands. You're not guessing and probing.
Right.
God never asks us to guess and probe. He asks us to listen and do what he said. Say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. Help me now to love every man, every woman, sinner, saint, mother, brother, cousin, the guy that stole $10 from you, the guy that keeps borrowing money and you keep giving to him knowing he ain't never going to pay you back. If you want to take my advice as a Christian, don't even borrow money, just give it. They can say they're borrowing, but you, in your mind, just give it.
Right.
Never expect it back. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, brother, God loves a cheerful giver. That's right. Let's just make the word our absolute now. Amen. Don't be afraid of getting taken advantage of, because you've got a bank in heaven that God will bankrupt before He lets His word not come to pass.
Amen.
And you are His word in this age. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to live the way He wants you to live? 2:11, Dad. I think most of us know it. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Dad. Now let's worship Him.
The way He wants me to live, I want to give until
has brought you from death unto life. And we're checking up. I understand there were some hard things said today. And any of us in the flesh would say, we don't measure up. And you're not going to. But the man greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't get hopeless. Don't get despaired. But if you say, Lord, my faith is only built up to maybe knowledge or some patience. But where's that love that I ought to have for that brother that did me wrong? Where's that love to get down and pray for that sister that lied about me? Or that man that is the reason I'm so messed up from 20, 30 years ago, and I can't seem to let it go? Look, don't hold on to that, brother, sister. Just raise your hands and say, Lord, as I raise them, I'm surrendering all that to You now. I'm just giving it all up. Say, Lord, I'm done with that. Fill me with the love of God. Let me love my brother beyond anything I'd ever love myself or any of my own ambitions. God bless you, brother, sister. Hands all over. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now believe that. He'll give it to you. He'll build that faith up. And you've got to rest in that. But Lord, I'm a Christian.
I'm called to be this in this day. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just be sincere. Be honest. And hold true to God's promise until you just have that settling in your heart of the love of God again. That's all it is. You get away from your faith. It creates unbelief. And it starts grieving God's presence. You ain't got joy no more. You won't have peace no more. But the second you'll start believing again. And leaving all that and say, Lord, put it back in the blood. I'm sorry. You know, even you held a grudge 20 years. Don't take 20 years to get rid of it. Just put it in the blood. It'll be gone. And let the great master builder come and build you up the way you ought to be. Hallelujah. Just surrender your hearts. If there's a Christian here, say, Lord, I'm here to rededicate myself this morning to your purpose. I want to love you like ever, never before, more than I ever have. And I know to do that, I ought to love my brother more than myself. God bless you, brother, sister. God grant your request today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we have a little altar call here. Brother Branham said it. He said, I'm not much for altar calls, because as the word's gone forth, you're on an altar right now. If you still hold on to some kind of sin or things, that's between you and God. You coming forward and things for that, it is not necessary. We're Gentiles. We know we're to believe the word or not believe it. I trust you're a believer today. Confess you're a believer. Confess it, Christian friend. I'm a believer. I've got overcoming power. I'm greater than this thing that's kept me hindered for 20 years. Thank you, Jesus, because greater is Christ in my heart than that man that was in the world. God bless each one. Look, that's faith coming in the building right now. Don't push that off as just, well, Brother Andrew just said that. The Holy Spirit is here. And as you be, he's just working on you. Keep letting him do it, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let him mold you. It might hurt. It might break you down. But it's the greatest thing you could ever let happen. Just let go of your pride. Let go of your formal religion. And Brother Branham said, if there ain't no emotion in it, it's just dead. Go bury it. It ought to create something in the heart when you get right with God. It ought to stir something to get that devil out of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, what a revival. Thank you, Jesus. Give me this more than all the shouting and screaming you ever could. Give me souls getting right with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that peace. What does the Bible say? The angels rejoice more over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous persons. And I just feel that around this room right now. Praise his name. As he delivers you, look, be careful to praise him. Start thanking him for what he's doing, because you can't do that. You can't get that out of your life, but he is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's been building patience in us. He's been building virtue and knowledge. Now he's building that love in our hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we'd be acceptable in his presence. As I let you keep having that altar right there, if you would like prayer for a need or something that you'd have a request for, I want you to invite you up right now. Thank you, Jesus. Got a few coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Pray with these. You stay in atmosphere of prayer. Keep thinking. Start worshiping. We just get a little too formal, I think, at times. This is a time to worship God. Message has gone forth. Let the worship that goes in your heart, the thing that says, hallelujah, just let that come on the outside. Say, Lord, I'm looking at you, and you're worthy of praise now. You delivered me, Lord. I believed. I don't have to go bound. I'm free. You're worthy of praise. Glory to God. I'm going to pray with these up here.
Sick will recover. He's recovered now. In Jesus Christ, let us pray. Amen.
Worthy, Lord Jesus, you're worthy.